We'd like to welcome everyone here tonight, and I'd especially like to thank all the elders for this opportunity that not only I, but all the other young men of this congregation have had to speak. And I know it's beneficial to all of us, because when you study God's Word in depth, it tends to have a great effect on you, and you learn a great deal. Well, first of all, our goal for being here and our primary goal as Christians is to study God's Word, to know what we can do to bring glory and honor to the Father, and that we can have the hope of a home in heaven with Him. And as Hebrews 10:24 and 25 instruct us, we aren't to forsake this assembling together. We're to gather together so we can exhort one another, which means that we've all had to take time out of our schedule, both this morning and this evening, to come and worship, instead of doing something else like visiting family or just taking the day off. And this brings us to a key question we need to consider. How are we choosing to use the time that God has given to us? Well, first of all, what exactly is time? That may seem to be a bit of a weird question, but we don't really stop and think about what time actually is. And knowing the definition of time can help us have a better idea of how we need to see time as Christians. According to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, time is the measured or measurable period during which an action, process, or condition exists or continues. Which basically means time is how we keep up with all the things that happen to us in life in the order that they happen. I think the best way I've probably ever heard it put was an anonymous author quoted, "Time is God's way of keeping everything from happening all at once." There is also another type of time aside from this temporary time on earth. There's eternity, which is a bit more difficult to define because we just can't grasp it the way that God can. God is above time, and His ways are higher than ours. If you will turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter 3. And verse 8 says, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day." And here we can see the scriptures clearly indicating that God is above time, and He understands everything about it that we can't understand. But eternity, simply put, with our limited understanding of it, is just time without end. Eternity will take place in only two locations, and there will be no in-between. We could either be forever redeemed to live with the Father, or we could be condemned forever. There's no in-between place, of course. There's no place for the people who say, "Okay, well, I was sort of a good person in life. I lived my life pretty well. I didn't really commit any crimes or anything." There's no place for those people that's separate from either heaven or hell. And our lives here, with the time we are given, that will define where we will end up in eternity. Okay, so those two parts of time are a basic overview, but more importantly, let's focus on how we should define our time on earth as Christians, and how should we view this time that we've been given. It is a gift, primarily. When we were brought into this world, as we were born, God gave us life. And therefore, He gave us time, however short that may be. This also brings up another point. We only have a limited amount of time, and the Bible reiterates this point. Let's look at a couple of verses. If you will, turn to Psalm 90. We read in verse 10, "The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years. Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away." Also, going down to verse 12, "So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." And just from these two verses, we can tell very clearly that we don't have forever to spend on this earth. Let's keep looking at a few more verses. Let's go to James chapter 4. We'll read verses 13 and 14. Verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such a city. Spend a year there. Buy, sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. So here we can see that, once again, time is only a temporary thing. And that even man is a very frail being in comparison to God. Let's go to Psalm 39. 39th chapter of the book of Psalms. Reading verse 4. Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Once again, we see here that man is a frail being and only a temporary one. Also, we won't read this, but all of Job chapter 14 deals with the frailty of man and how God controls all the aspects of our lives, all the aspects of the time we have here. Okay, so we know how limited our lives are, and we can even see this by looking at a gravestone. The birth date and the date of death are separated by a dash, which is the only part of our lives that we can influence. It's the only part we have to deal with. And it is what counts. It does represent our time on earth. Once again, we need to be thankful for this time that we've been given. And I ask the question again, what do we do with this time we have here on earth? Because that dash is the only thing we'll be remembered by, and it's what we're going to give an account for. If you will turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Reading verses 15 and 16. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And this passage points out that we must use our time wisely because we have so little of it. And what we do have is surrounded by the wickedness of the world. And in fact, even the world recognizes that the time is a limited resource. Benjamin Franklin once quoted, "Do you love life? Then waste not time, for it is the stuff of life." It's such a valuable resource. We've got to make wise use of it because we don't have all the time in the world to just waste it. Well, so how do we go about managing our time? Well, the definition of time management is the act or process of exercising conscious control over the amount of time spent on specific activities. So let's bring to mind some of the things that we typically do with our time. Of course, we worship God here. We could work, we could play sports, attend school, we can spend our time reading or watching television. That's just a small list of things we normally do in our daily lives, but this could be a fairly long list if you were just to carry it out. Which means we've got a lot to consider when we decide what to do with our time. So if we want to accomplish our responsibilities as Christians, we've got to manage our time wisely and we've got to prioritize. A lot of times you'll hear people saying things like, "I don't have enough time for this or that," or "I've got to make time for going and doing this." And sometimes this is true, especially under extenuating circumstances, but many times it is just the failure to set apart time for doing the appropriate things. It's a failure to use time appropriately. Now, let's take a look at how the world handles its time. We live in an age where most people cram their lives into all these different activities, trying to fill up their lives, and they don't leave any time for God. They focus on spending their time for themselves all the time, and it's even gotten out of hand for secular standards. Especially in the scriptures, we can see examples of people who used their time inappropriately or wasted their time. If you will turn to Proverbs 20. Proverbs 20. And we'll read verse 4. The lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during the harvest and have nothing. You see, if we don't carry out what needs to be done during the appropriate time, it can create many problems for oneself. And turning over a few chapters, Proverbs 26, verse 13. Proverbs 26:13 reads, "The lazy man says, 'There is a lion in the road, a fierce lion in the streets,' which is a really absurd excuse for doing what one is supposed to do. You see, we can't procrastinate with the time that we're given. We must act. Now, if you will turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, Ecclesiastes 3, we won't read all these verses, but you can clearly see Solomon is discussing how there is a time for everything. There is an appropriate time for us to take specific actions. We are to be using our time appropriately. For example, while we're in worship services, like this morning, we're not to be planning secular activities in our minds. We're to be focusing on what we're trying to learn here. We're trying to be reverent to God and show respect to Him. Another example of poorly spent time is found in Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5, verse 12. "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you've come to need milk and not solid food." You see, these people had wasted their time not maturing, not reading and studying God's Word. In fact, many people who can't manage their time will go to other advice, secular advice. In fact, some of the most well-renowned and wealthy authors got to be that way because they wrote books on time management. Even people of the world see how essential it is to use wisely what time they have. Okay, let's look at one last example of how the world uses time. As Brother Smith mentioned this morning, Solomon was probably the most well-known of all worldly successes because he spent his whole life accumulating wealth and becoming probably the most successful man to have ever lived. And all through his life, he sought all kinds of pleasures, found all of them to be empty and void. But his conclusion of the matter is what's really key here. If you will turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, Ecclesiastes 12, we'll read verses 13 and 14. "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring into For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." So Solomon, again, probably the wealthiest, most successful man who have ever lived, in the end tells us that spending time for God is our very being. It's what we consist of, and it's what we must do with this time that we are given here. So let's look at what God would have us to do so we can be judged to be righteous in the end. We've got to look to our responsibilities that we have been given by God's Word. If you will turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy 4. And verse 13. "Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine." Of course, Paul is advising Timothy on what to do while he is absent. But it actually, this verse sums up pretty well what our duties are as Christians. We are to show ourselves approved through studying. We are to exhort one another and encourage one another. And we must teach others through showing them the Word, both teaching it to them and living examples. And let's look at some biblical examples of people who have used their time wisely. If you will turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Verse 36. "At Joppa there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds which she did. And we're shown a few verses later how she spent all of her time helping the widows. She would make garments for them, make cloths for them. So she took her own time and used it for others in a lack of self-consideration. We must also do the same. We've got to consider others throughout our lives. Another example of well-spent time is that of Paul. Paul spent the majority of his later years devoted to teaching others and spreading the word. He used his time in a way that was pleasing to God and that furthered the world all over Asia Minor, Galatia, Macedonia, all over the known world at that time. In fact, he may have been the apostle that spread the word most of all of them. But we can see here, he took no small amount of his time in devotion to the Lord in his service. In fact, let's go to our best example that we have, and that example would be Jesus, of course. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. Let's read verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Even Jesus himself did this. We can see this in two verses. Primarily John 5, John chapter 5, if you'll turn there. John chapter 5. And in verse 19 we read, Then Jesus had answered and said to them, Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in a like manner. If you will turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2. And verse 8 says, And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. We are also to be imitators of God such as this. We must humble ourselves in our lives. And we must serve the Father. Also, one example that he gave us of setting aside time is in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. This is talking about when Jesus was surrounded by many multitudes, and yet he still took the time to go and pray to the Father. Verse 15, However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of all their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. So even though he could have been helping these other people, he took time to go and pray to the Father in a much more important relationship that he had with God. And we must do the same thing. We've got to set aside time from our worldly activities to go and pray. And once again, we can't let the things that fill our lives be of the world. If you'll once again turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2. We read in verse 21, For all seek their own, not the things which are of Jesus Christ. And you don't have to turn there, but I'll just read these passages. 2 Timothy 2:14, No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And Hebrews 3:15, While it is said, Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. It's urgent that while it is still said, while this day can still be called today, that we hear his voice and obey it. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2 says, For he says, In an acceptable time I have heard you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time, and behold, now is the day of salvation. We don't have forever to obey God's word. People die of natural causes, or they may be killed in accidents every day. So what reason is there to put off obeying the gospel? We've got to take advantage of this moment we have now. If you use your time to seek him, you're going to find him. Matthew 7, verse 7 says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." Are you using God's gift of time wisely? Are you using it to seek him? If your faith isn't strong enough to move you to obey, you may not be using your time to search the scriptures enough. If you have obeyed, but you have gone amiss in some area or regard, now may be the last chance that you have to come to repentance. If you are in any way subject to God's invitation, please come now as we stand and as we sing.